I'm starting to feel like now, because I actually made the 800 team, I might be ready to...
Now that monkey's off your back.
Now I can say goodbye. I think you have to be... You have to have things that you love in the sport that are outside of just the big accomplishments. It can feel like, okay, I put in all this really hard work, like, year after year, and I have nothing to show for it. To me, I've been thinking about, like, okay, why do I do this? It's, like, very life-affirming to just go out there and, like, find the best competition and see how you stack up against them. Can I be happy with myself and my performance and what I'm doing day-to-day, independent of whatever major accolade I'm searching for?
Important for anyone out there.
I think I'm taking the...
I'm going to write some notes on that.
That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm... I'll say it here. I think I'm going to switch to the running after this year.
Okay.
But
it's official.
Unless I'm just not as good as I thought I'm going to be. In which case, I'll just keep running the 800. Well,
find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay. Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club. Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 199. Today we have a lovely full couch with all the boys and Sage Herder-Klecker joining us. Sage, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. First time in the studio.
Yeah, it's like a big crime that we haven't had you on since Florida. Like, I don't even know if you count the Florida. That was a very important, like, arc for us in our podcasting history. That was important.
I loved those episodes.
Well, I also loved
the one
because
in the rain. Mostly
it was pouring out.
That was pouring rain.
We kept moving closer and closer.
The funny thing, too, is I'm pretty sure with Alicia, she hadn't been in the studio either. So with the women's side, we haven't had really that many of them in the studio.
That's not good.
Yeah, we gotta rack that up. But yeah, it's good to have you here, Sage.
We got a lot to talk about today.
We do.
And we're very excited for it. So we're going to get into that. Before that, we will cover the Sir Walter Mile. But first, I guess as our segue into it, we have a few shout-outs today. A crazy amount of...
Strap in.
Yeah. So we're going to try speed run them. So to everyone who did give beans, like, thank you so much. We would all love to give you guys each as long as possible, but sometimes it's just you got to do what you got to do. So to start it off, we had a lovely package sent to us from Ellery, who is the Fit Biomix, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, intern, who are famous for making the products Nella and V-Nella, which are a probiotic supplement.
Got them here.
Which is...
Part of George's three pillars.
That's what I was trying to tell Ollie.
And he three pillars are... And he didn't protein, get... carbohydrates, and...
Probiotics.
Probiotics, yes.
Ollie didn't get the joke in the chat when I sent that last week.
Well, because I actually didn't realize it was a probiotic. I just thought it was a supplement.
That is fair. But I don't know if we're going to do anything with them, but just thank you for sending us some. It's a very reputable company. Look them up. They're based off some like Harvard study. I don't know what Harvard is, but I guess like they do like studies and stuff there. So that's kind of like where the company was born. And she was also kind enough to send us some beans from Ecuador Coffees. The Equator, I guess I should pronounce it right.
That might help.
Equator Coffees. Equator blend, which looks very lovely. So,
where are they from? Where's Nella from?
Well, Harvard, I believe, but she is based in...
It's just like in a Harvard...
Bay Area.
It's just in like a Harvard classroom or something.
It's in the lab.
Chemistry lab.
In the lab.
Chemistry lab.
Yeah, I think these beans are from the Bay Area, California.
Sweet.
But yeah, that's it from Ellery. Thank you so much. And we're excited to fix our gut microbiomes.
Cannot wait.
Mine's fine.
Are you sure?
No. Mine's terrible.
I also have one very delayed bean shout out. So apologies to these, but it's not my fault. This is 100% Robert's fault. But also, these beans come from Robert. Like, it says Robert, so I'm really confused. But they are from... They're from a Robert who gave them to our Robert, Farkin, in Oslo. And they're Raglan Roast Brown Lightnings.
Oh, I thought that they were from Robert Farkin the whole time.
No, they are from Robert Farkin. They were Robert Farkin to me, but he
just forgot to give them to us.
I think he got given them in Oslo and just had forgotten to give them to us.
You know what the crazy thing about that? I was in Oslo when he got given that bag and he just didn't give it to me. he's probably thinking, oh, maybe I could steal this. And then guilt kind of took over and he was like...
Is the bag open?
Well, yeah. Well, that's because I drank something.
Geordie's taking something out of that.
There's just going to be no beans in there.
Robert just gave me an empty bag.
He's like, you can shout this out in the pod, but you're not having any of the beans.
So these are from Wellington, New Zealand, via Oslo, Norway. The carbon footprint on these things is not good.
Where are the beans? Where are the beans from?
Yeah, exactly. let's skip this. Let's go straight to Ollie.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Sir Walter Mile, probably one of the biggest coffee club presences I've ever seen at a meet. It was
unreal. Looked like a sick meet, huh?
It was sick. I hate that Geordie's right. It was one of the top meets that I've been to this year.
Did you put that on your...
Remember? And I got made so much fun of for putting the Sir Walter Mile on our...
Sage, we actually did this
on
with
our
Joe,
race draft.
Mm-hmm. Maybe...
It was with Joe.
A year ago where we drafted like the... We each had four, I don't know if you remember, four races that we had to pick. And George pulled the Sir Walter Mile out of nowhere. He put it on his team. And we were obviously picking US chart, pre and stuff. And
London Marathon Olympics. I came out of left field with the Sir Walter Mile. And now Ollie is eating his words because he's realizing how good it is.
Yeah.
So this must be the most beans ever.
So, okay. So I'm sure our listeners know about the Gus plushie that's next to Sage right now. We only had a very, very limited amount of those. I saw about 2 or 3 Gus plushies at the meet.
That's about 2 or 3% of them in existence.
Yeah. Insane. We had signs. We had a copious amount of coffee beans, people coming up talking about the Coffee Club podcast. Am I a bigger podcaster than Runner now? I don't know. It feels like it because every interview I do, everything I do is about you two boys and Coffee Club, particularly
George.
That's not
a bad thing. Don't take that as a...
I'm not taking it as a bad thing, but it's just funny to be known as a podcaster now. I feel like I can be known as a podcaster. But
You do running on the side.
Let's bang these out quickly, and then I can talk a little bit about the race. So this is a left foot cocky...
Say that again? Come again?
The left hook coffee. I said something else before. I just ignore it. Ethiopian. The bag is sweet.
You know how we feel about these white resealable bags.
This is from Steven. Just going to shout him out because he's wrote me a lovely letter about bringing the Coffee Club podcast to him. And I think he also wants to shout out to recommending the Red Rising series. So that's awesome for us.
And we're podcasters and we're book reviewers.
Yeah, he's written.
Currently reading Sun Eater. That's my new one.
Influence.
Sun Eater. I've heard about that one.
Yeah.
All right, so thank you, Stephen. Absolute legend. Met him twice. These bags come from...
Oh my gosh, they got a bulldog on the front.
A lovely...
Woolly Brew.
Lovely two ladies who... I don't know if the camera's on, but there's like a drawing of Gus.
Wait, is the camera on? Are we recording?
Is the camera on recording? This is to everyone. But this is a big shout out. And they want to... Wish us strong coffee, slobbery bulldog snuggles, and many happy miles from Cass, Malene, and our four-legged crew, Chance, Devin, Bean, and Hubcap? Is that?
Hubcap, dude.
Hubcap. That's a cute name. Like and subscribe. And I got them to sign it because it was amazing. Yeah. But we got Bully Brew.
You should like...
Which looks like dog food. When I picked this up, I was like, oh, it's dog food. But it's medium roast.
You should frame this.
No, I'm going to frame it in my office.
It's really
impressive.
So good. Wait, office?
In my house, yeah. Oh, well, my office is mostly where I play Minecraft. So.
So you're just saying stuff and I'm just like hearing it. And then I have to respond.
Yeah. Well, you agreed last week that you were just going to start not questioning Ollie.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, why are you questioning me, bro?
Sorry, in the office.
You were going to just start going along with it.
My office has it's just like a throne room to Gus. So we got these lovely coffee beans from Classic Pure Intentions Coffee, Colombia. And a lovely card. Dear Ollie, Morgan, and George, and Gus, we hope you enjoyed this coffee from Durham, North Carolina. So cool to see you, Ollie, race here in NC, and we hope you have a great rest of the year. Biggest fans, Elizabeth, Cole, and Owen. So thank you guys so much for these. Man, we're going to be caffeinated to the brim. So this is a place that got recommended a lot, was Black and White Coffee. I got a bag from some fans.
This that's also sending good. Yeah. That's a green flag.
This is like a very, very, very popular. So we did, I think Mara and I went to 3 coffee shops and this was one of them and it was recommended like on the top of the list. Very good coffee. So from Nick Fry, we got to Keith Hoare. So these bag of beans are from Vietnam, where he worked in prosthetic limbs this summer. Big fan of the pod. Say hello to the boys. P.S. You're a handsome whore and funny bloke. Thanks, Nick. Thank you very much. That means the world to me. But this looks like Vietnamese coffee. So you would make Vietnamese coffee out of this.
Yeah, that's different.
Different. We're not used to that.
There's more?
Sorry, Sage. This is like coming to the podcast. It's like, what the fuck's going on? To Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus from Mason, we've got our Woods Coffee, always roasted fresh, light roast. Our fans are listening. Light roast.
We respect that. Whoa, is that from the same people or different people?
Different people.
Wait, really?
Same bag. Yeah. So this must be.
It must be
good. Must be,
yeah.
I tell you what I really like about it is that it has a. It doesn't have like a shiny finish on the bag. It has like a kind of more rough matte. Yeah. Type
this is also this is like the shape that Verb uses for their bags.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign, isn't it? Oh, Morgan Street.
So it says here, wanted to send you home with a taste of Raleigh coffee scene. These beans are for the lovers of a funky light roast. Hope you and the crew enjoy. Come back to NC soon. Colleen McCarthy, the other Colleen, because there was Steeple Squigs there. That's written there. It's written there.
So, I like that.
It actually says that?
Yeah, the other Colleen.
That's funny.
So that is the done with the shout-outs. Thank you guys so much, particularly everyone that's come up. I was actually signing on Spikes into the Nike Spikes. That was really cool. They were asking about everybody in the team. They were very excited for Sage and Josette for making the US team as well. So... love that. Love our community. Brought a tear to my eye. So
this has to be the biggest.
I think so. I'm trying to think if like a
somewhere in New York has been similar.
Boston,
but this is way big. I think New York we've like had five back. This is like 1, 2.
I think it makes sense at a race like Sir Walter. It's distance only. Like it's basically just a mile.
7 back.
It's
Is it a meet that has a bunch of miles for like? Younger people to run as
it
well.
It has like a open 4x4 like kind of.
But does it have like an A, B, C?
I'm pretty sure there are miles during the afternoon.
There are a couple miles before, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there are.
Wait, did you get your shirt, Ollie?
Yeah, but I gave it to a fan.
Oh, okay, that's a lovely thing to do. Those shirts are so cool.
It says I ran sub 4.
Yeah.
So a fan came up and he's like,
I don't think I got one of those.
You missed
that. They didn't have them the year that we, because I got mine retroactively.
So yours is very popular in the magazines, Sage, because like all the stuff they set up for before the meet, there's these photos, there's just Sage heads everywhere in these photos. And I was like, this is amazing. How did they get them? But it must have been after US Champs, I think.
It was last year, and the On Tech rep down in North Carolina set that all up.
Amazing.
Yeah,
the On people seem to do a really good job there as well.
Yeah, because there's a great photo of just like these girls on the hill all holding Sage heads, but they're all different. Heads of Sage, they're not all the same heads, so I kind of enjoyed that as well.
Where do you think those heads are today?
My parents have one, I think.
It's just in case they miss you and they just
Craig Engels ended up with one, so I don't know.
Traveling around America.
That's unreal. But I'll do a quick recap of Sir Walter Mile. Geordie, it was one of the best meets I've been to in my career. You're a part of a meet where people care about like the sport and about like the athletes and the fans and how it's run. And shout out to Sandy and the whole crew. There's like so many people that I can't name, but amazing experience, amazing meet.
Is it at the NC State track or a different track?
Meredith College.
Okay.
So the track's really nice.
That's also new. I ran at a different one.
Yeah.
They've moved around a couple of times.
They've set up this whole like kind of arena area that you can just walk onto the track, and it felt like cross country. Like it felt like Madison, Wisconsin cross country. Like everyone was just there, like right next to you. And I know Josette, Sage, Yard, and George have all done this meet before. Olivia, myself, Mario and Kai, experiencing this meet, we were just like blown away with how well we were supported, how lovely our shout out to my host family as well. Jorge cooking up homemade pasta. He made me homemade pasta for lunch, homemade sauce with Mario.
Amazing.
Like just, and they're like, they're so, they just love, they love it. And the community there was great. Just great vibes, really great vibes. One of my favorite meets. And I hope that they'll have me back at some point. And it was a great meet. The race, on the other hand, I think I warmed up way too early. I warmed up 90 minutes before my race. And then I was like kind of walking around.
How does that even happen?
So I think Mario like, was talking, and I agree with Mario that like sometimes when you go into warm up, you kind of feel a bit rushed near the end when you're getting into like going into the core room.
Yeah, when the, no when, core the, room. When the core room at like the Olympics is like 30 minutes. Yeah,
there is no core room, right? So for me, I was like kind of walking around, and then they do like individual call outs for everybody in the race, which actually took quite a while.
It's fun though.
Which is amazing because you like run through and you high five everyone and stuff like that. And at that point, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not warmed up anymore. But first 100 meters felt lactic. The race did not feel great for me. But shout out to Kai Robinson, who I think from 600 to go, the pacer wasn't able to make a K. I think he made it to 800. But it was a bit hard for him. So
it was when, like 155-ish?
156 for 809.
Okay.
So like 155. Yeah. Yeah. 154. So like not pacing wasn't terrible, but we definitely picked it up. Kai went around with me with 600 to go and made it a race. And I was kind of getting him a little bit at the end, but just didn't have the room. And Kai's been crushing training right now. So he wanted all the smoke. He wanted to talk shit, and he got the dub. So
he's been talking it up a lot before going into.
Yeah, he was talking it big. His girlfriend was there. He had a little crew from Duke. He was feeling the vibes.
It's gonna be tough for him to lose in front of his girlfriend.
Yeah, but I mean, still 350 race. I'm at this point where I'm kind of frustrated because I'm running 350. I'm running 350. I'm running 331. And like the thing is, that's not bad running. But my training and everything that's been leading up to this is like, I am ready to, for a big, you know, for a big race to improve. And I'm still sitting like not bad, not good, like pretty good. And I want to kind of progress, but great meet. Shout out to Olivia as well. I think she ran really well. Yeah, George, it was an amazing meet. So they want you back. They want Morgan. They desperately want you there. They want the dream scenario is that everyone from OAC goes and they like do a host house of just like all the OAC athletes in this big house, which they can do in Raleigh because the houses there are insane. But yeah, amazing meet.
I'm pretty sure it's like if you win the Masters, I think like if you're a I think like I'm pretty sure I have like a standing invite. I'm pretty sure that's the thing.
That's cool.
I might have made that up.
That's but, a good
no. I think that is
idea.
A thing. I think that is a thing.
I like. I swear it is.
You can use it when you're like 45.
Yeah. Kai got the meet record. So Kai's got the meet record. Soil record. From
yeah,
Waleed.
Think, yeah,
passed down
year,
from Yared to Waleed, now back to the OAC.
But every year they've run quicker. And I think the women's as well. But this is a crazy start with the women. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. So before they started this meet, no woman has ever broken 4:30 in NC. Now, I think they've had like 40 or 40 to 80.
Wasn't it no one had ever broken 4 either?
In North Carolina? I think...
I've read something.
I think
now
something
it's like 80,
like that.
Unless
but
it was
like
just
the running, just for yeah. women running fast in that meet. Because Sage, your time was up there. You ran 4:19.
Yeah, I had the second time.
Yeah, because I think somebody else, Kenyan lady, has the top time. But you were number two. I can't remember the name. But I was just looking at Sage's name.
Dorcas, yeah.
But 4:19,
popping off,
freaking quick. But like all the like the so many sub 4:30s. It was pretty sick to see.
Yeah, it is. I think it'd be something so special, like in the context of like. America, I don't know what the equivalent would be for us down under, but where like you have a barrier like 4 minutes or 4:30 for the mile, and it's like in your state never been done. And yeah, it just shows if you like do the right things, start a meet, obviously not easy to do, like it can just create like this amazing thing and just bring the community together. And I think that's the like the thing with our sport is getting to do more meets like this is always like I think such a pleasure. Because there's so many other meets that you get to do, which are really cool in different ways, but a meet where you get to really connect with a community and a lot of like distance fans, it's hard to beat that. So.
No, it was amazing. So, yeah, that's our little recap from Sir Walter. Thanks for having us, the OAC guys and gals, and appreciate everything you guys do, and we hope to be back next year.
Hell yeah. And you're about to go do a couple more races now is the plan?
Yeah, so I've been on the fence with getting into Silesia. And then I got a phone call from my boy Ingi, and he said, look, I pulled some strings. I'm not going to race. You'll get a phone call or text in a couple of minutes. I get a text from my agent, Ray. He said, oh, you're confirmed for Silesia. Dathan calls me. He goes, you got to book a flight. Come on. Book a flight with Sage and Yard. So I booked my flight before this is recorded and going to Celestia on Wednesday, which is really exciting. It's a 1500. So I don't think there's going to be...
Fast track.
It's fast track. Yarrod's running. Sage is running. And I'm really excited to just go and I feel like it's like banging your head against a brick wall. Just keep going, keep crushing. I mean, I've had some great workouts. Results have been okay, but not like what I want. So I'm just going to keep banging my head against the brick wall. And, you know, my nose isn't bloody yet, but like, you know, my forehead's getting cut up a little bit and I'm losing part of my eyelash, but it's
hopefully
it's,
you break through the wall.
I'll break through that wall eventually.
Yeah, before plan. Your head breaks.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really excited. I'm very, very excited for this one. I know you've done this meet before, right, Sage?
Yeah, 2 times.
Yeah, and it's pretty good meet, pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
My highest Diamond League finish was at this meet, so.
There we go. So good vibes going in. So I'm going to be doing
track
that.
Too.
Yeah, very excited.
Yeah, so that'll be awesome. Speaking of Sage at Celestia, do you want to talk about what you're planning?
So I'm going to Celestia not to race, but to pace Faith again.
What's your title now? Faith Kipyegon, pacer number one priority.
Are you pacing? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I'm pacing.
Pacing the K or the
world record?
It's a 3K.
3K.
World record mm-hmm. attempt.
Yes.
So you're like the golden goose for this because
world record Faith specifically. Says, I need Sage.
Yeah.
I think her immediate thought is, all right, I need the same girl.
My
every
belief
time.
Is you
I need
should
Sage.
Be the highest paid athlete at the meet then. Just get a massive appearance because
you probably will be if it's yeah, successful. Well, you probably yeah, will be one of the highest.
Yeah, I'm assuming Faith will make more money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I forgot. Faith might make a little bit more money. Yeah,
Is Bitches running as well?
I have no.
Or
clue.
Is it just the Faith? Is it?
That'd
like
be
a,
an epic showdown. It would if be, they were right? both.
That'd
going.
Be the distance.
I thought there was chat about that. I don't actually know whether that's happening or not.
That would be so cool, though.
That'd be freaking sweet.
Yeah.
So the world record is 809.
806, I think.
Oh my god!
Is this still a Chinese world
yeah.
record?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this would be a this would be a nice one
in case yeah. they were listening.
This would be a nice one to rewrite.
Yeah.
64 points. Is that
pretty
the pace? 65.
Pretty much.
Yes. Yeah. 60.
And how long are you going to go for?
I'm just going 1200.
1200.
I'm
okay.
just the get us out on the right pace yeah. person.
Is there another person behind you?
I just heard this from Alicia and Josette that it's Jess.
Jess is going to pace?
Yeah.
Wow. Star stuff.
The thing is that Jess
elite.
Could also run that, like, Jess, I could not, would not be surprised.
3K would suit her a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she could run that quick.
But
definitely.
The reality is the time of like a, I mean, if you're going to go for 806, well, let's just go for 8 flat, right?
That's what I would have thought.
So if you're
you may as well run 759.
You're going to need the best freaking possible paces in the world
yeah.
to do that.
And you've got both of them from what I hear, so.
Yeah, I mean, to go through in 402, 403, you got to be pretty comfortable.
That's crazy. Yeah, that is fast.
Is that, halfway. Is that like harder than breaking 14 in the 5K?
I've always thought they're
either
pretty equivalent.
Points-wise, it'd be interesting to see how that like kind of measures up with the points. Because breaking 14 to breaking 8, surely breaking 8.
When did you guys do both those things?
I'm trying to think. I think I did both of them my freshman year of college.
Which was harder?
I think like...
I remember you ran 7:55 at Iowa State.
Yeah. I think 8 flat is actually harder.
Mm,
I do. I think. They're similar, but I think 8 is just a touch harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's going to be an amazing opportunity and it comes off some other amazing pace jobs that you've done for Faith, which it's just a long line of great performance that you've had in the past few years for anyone who's been paying attention. You've had quite the journey, you know, as in your pro career. And I think I really like, especially if you just, let's say, look at like your results from USA's, it's like, it's just a story of like, consistency, persistence, and then a lot of drama. And
that's a good way to describe it.
And I think we're all very happy to see the newest chapter of this story, which is your recent third place at USA's, which must just feel absolutely amazing. Could you kind of take us through, maybe just tell the listeners, like exactly since 2021, like what you've, how, like just in a short form, how each USA's have played out to get you here and then how this final one went?
Yeah, in 2021, I literally crashed out of the semifinal at the Olympic trials.
Broken wrist?
Broken wrist.
Broken wrist, yeah. Just smacked the ground. Got tripped up with 100 meters to go.
That was one of your first races with the team,
that
right?
That was my first interaction with the team.
I do remember that.
And then I think Alicia went to the hospital.
Alicia went to the hospital too.
Too
because she had the heat stroke. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, emotionally. We were all
Eugene.
There too.
Yeah.
Eugene, man, emotionally.
Yeah. And of course, these are all in Eugene.
Yeah.
Fuck
Eugene.
2022, I made the final, but I don't know. It was fine. I got 7th or 8th, I think. I'd made a big jump in the semifinal, and I didn't really start running super fast until later that year. At the time, it felt like it would have been huge to make the team.
Mm. Is that the year you went on a big Diamond League spree?
Yeah.
USA's, right?
I ended up getting 3rd at the Diamond League final that year.
And running 157 by the end of that year?
Yeah. The following year, I got 4th at USA's by a small margin. And then...
Is that 2023?
2023, got 4th. Didn't really... In one of those situations where you're like, okay, I shouldn't be getting 4th here.
Mm.
But... not really my year. And then last year, 2024, got stuck behind a fall 200 meters in the race and basically was starting like 2 seconds behind everyone with 600 to go. Ended up 5th. I rallied. I tried.
Honestly,
but
it was like one of the most impressive races I've seen you do to come back from that.
I tried really hard through like 700 meters. And then at 700 meters, it was like, it set in like, okay, I'm not making up 2 seconds right here to make this team.
I mean, you pretty much stopped. Like it was like,
I stepped off the track to get around this fall, full stop.
Yeah.
I think she's a big body to.
Well, she's got long,
she's got some long legs.
And I think what the amount of times I watched that race and just been furious about it because it just sucks.
Yeah.
That just sucks. And, with USA, it's like if you're from another country, it's like, oh, discretionary pick, you get it, you know?
Yeah.
But because it's USA, it's in top three, a four, it doesn't matter in the final. There's no rerun.
It's funny, too, because everyone asks me, like, oh, would you rather there be a discretionary pick? It's like, yeah, but if the reigning Olympic champion is the other person who's affected by this fall, like, who are they going to pick? It probably doesn't help me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried to rerun the race, I think. I think Bobby...
There was like talk of that. I don't know if that's how realistic.
I think it was only talk of it from...
from him. But I remember she like went in and she got such long legs. She's not used to having... Because at that point, I would say US female 800 running had like taken a huge jump. Everyone was running insanely quick. So everyone was there.
Well, ever since Sage entered... Ever since she entered the event as a pro and even a little bit before that, it's... I mean, any US team is extremely hard to make, but arguably the hardest would be the women's 800, especially if you're talking about distance events.
It's just blown up.
When I first started, like especially up top, there was amazing depth. Like 2021 when I did...
2021 was crazy.
We got 2 medals.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. I mean, Ajay's been like sort of up there for years before that too. Now it's almost like now the depth is crazy.
Yeah.
Now it's turned over a little bit. That year, like the year you came in was a thing, Raven Rogers and Ajay. Like that was a crazy team to make.
Yeah.
Now it's like full of young people as well.
But they're all running like,
But they're running, just as fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So fast forward then to this year. And you've been in this like 157 shape, maybe even quicker, but you know you're so established and you've been so close to making the team so many times, and so at that point it really comes down to just like execution.
Yeah.
And you had a really good season up to this point. Like you were in a great spot. There were some other ladies in the event who had also like run amazing and maybe who had good momentum coming off maybe some other Diamond Leagues or like NCAAs, but you were in as good of a spot as any. Was there something like that you were thinking about different going into this one? I mean, you had so much intention going through both the heats and the semis. Was it just like, all right, I'm not fucking coming any lower than 3rd this year?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because last year I would say that my racing was going better into the trials and then it didn't work out. So I feel like I was sort of like going through the motions a little bit in the season, like trying to just work on little things in my racing and just not really think about what other people were doing too much. But yeah, this weekend, it takes a lot of courage just to be like, okay, I'm gonna go do it again. When the last two years.
Ollie's words, you just keep bashing your head.
Literally,
Well, that kind of analogy reminds me, Sage, because for us as teammates, like, and I hope this isn't an offensive thing to say to you, Sage, but like, you're like the best, one of the best runners we've had that hasn't been on the national team.
Yeah.
Like, this is your first one. And for me, it's so frustrating as an athlete that my system's a bit different. Maybe it's a bit more, it is easier. So it's very frustrating when you see your teammate years and years and years puts in all the right moves, does all the right moves, but for some reason you're playing chess and then it's checkers. And you just can't, like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And the sport's very cruel in that way, but it's also opportunistic, where you've done really great in these diamond leagues and you've just, like, been very inspiring in that sense of just keeping it rolling. So, like, year after year, you're just thinking, when is Sage going to catch a break? When is this brick wall going to come down? And I mean, particularly after 2024, it's just like, we needed it to manifest. And yeah, that's kind of why that analogy to me is like, that Sage is just like banging your head against a brick wall and then you'll break through.
Yeah, I had done a lot of work last year to, like, mentally say, okay, I'm going to show up and give it my all, even though I know even if I have my best day, it might not be good enough to accomplish what I want. And then I was actually really upset afterwards because, like, well, I did all this work to be tough and be able to live through these kinds of things. And I can't believe I'm actually having to do that. Like, I'm actually going to have to be tough. And why can't it just be easy for once?
I was prepared, but also not.
I didn't want to have to be prepared. So
I was prepared for the worst case scenario, but yeah, hoping that the worst case scenario wouldn't actually come.
And then it comes and you're like, great, I gotta have to.
Yeah. I was living a lot more in the moment this year. Maybe also just like the Olympics, I feel like, is such a big thing. Like, even outside of the world championship, it's like people outside of the sport understand what it means to be an Olympian. And it's like, I could kind of like sail off into the sunset if I was an Olympian a little bit. But in like, people outside the sport would understand what I've done. Versus just me being like, oh yeah, I've like run some fast times.
Yeah.
But this year I just showed up to each round and tried to put together the best race possible. Like, I really was just trying to like focus on certain things in my race plan and be really tough. And it ended up having to be that way, in the final too.
It always was going to be like that, I think.
I think you go in and you think, because I remember watching the heat in the semi, you looked really good, very in control of the races. But then you get to the final and then like there's all this thing of like, well, this is a US women's 800 final. Anything's going to happen.
A lot of people were looking good.
A lot of people were looking good too. And that's the one thing is people always turn up. I mean, when we went to that prediction contest, a lot of things changed. And that was the one thing that was scary, is like, we just want that consistency. And that was something that you've been so good with too. And the first lap was considerably slow. Like 60 seconds is probably slower than expected for you, or did you think it was going to go out that slow?
Yeah, I would never have guessed that it would have gone out that slow.
Yeah, because it was, for me, I was thinking like, if it's a fast race, it's maybe a bit more clear.
That I would have preferred it to be a fast race, probably.
Yeah.
I just, less traffic.
Simplifies it a bit.
Yeah. I always like to think that then like you, the last 200 is just more about who can grit it out versus like who's got.
It's more of like a pure like fitness test.
Yeah.
Rather than like bringing in the other factors of like chance and stuff. But I mean, despite that, you navigate it really well, because one of the reasons why you ended up being able to get it done, I think, was because your positioning was like so good in that
really
race.
Good.
Yeah, I had definitely moved up further on the back stretch than maybe I would have. But one of the things is like, in the past, I've seen people take risks and make teams, whether like outdoor or indoor. And then I've been off the team and I'm like, what the heck? Like, that person like really went for it. And I feel like I was just waiting for something to happen. So I was trying to make something happen over that last 300 meters. And it worked out.
Yeah, you can see it, because you got into a great position with 200 to go. You were in a really good spot. And then there was kind of a bit of a trip up and kerfuffle behind you, which is where, like, if you're waiting and something like that happens, it really puts you out of the race. Particularly because there's too many good girls.
It was an actual four.
But did someone go down?
Yeah. But the thing about how important that positioning was, like, this year you're in front of it. So that position is almost worth that hard move that you made on the back straight, then maybe you had slightly less in the last 50, but making that move got the job done.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to say one way or the other, because you could say, oh, you know, the two women that were ahead of me, like they waited and they had an extra gear, but then, you know, there were probably five people behind me that were also waiting, and they weren't where they needed to be after all of that.
Yeah, it's such a running is such an interesting sport like that, because if you're never talking about it or experiencing the way tactics move in that way, you're just watching a race unfold and you think, oh, that lady just had more energy than the others. But it's like, there's just so many things that you can make a small move or a small risk, particularly in a race where you can't make a lot of mistakes. So it's pretty, it's just so cutthroat.
Well, it makes that event really exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Probably on the same scale, really nerve-wracking to be a part of.
Yeah, like 2 years ago after I'd gotten fourth, there was a period of time where I couldn't even watch track because I would get so stressed out just watching people position and things like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just when it hasn't gone your way, sometimes it's hard to then like embrace it and enjoy it without a ton of stress.
You can only enjoy it like for as teammates, like you watch your teammate and you just have nerves. And the worst thing about that is you, when you go into a race and you have nerves, you can control what you're doing. When you can't control this outcome and you're watching it and you have investment in it, it's the worst thing ever. I hate it. I only like it when it's over and then like, you know, the result's there and you can kind of process it. But during the race, I'm always just a nervous wreck. So, but I mean, after you pass the line and then, how was the feeling? Like, did you, because you said, you know, I mean, you hit the ground.
Yeah, how was the feeling of the track?
the track must have, I mean, how Eugene's a feel? Hard track to hit the ground on, but yeah. Like,
oh, just, it's the worst track.
Worst
you track
also to hit it like in a very like with force.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going like, we're still running 14 seconds yeah. for the last 100. Like you're going 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you're just.
Just straight down on the ground.
Straight down.
Yeah. I got a text from Carlos and he texted me. He said, did Sage just break her nose making the US team? I was like, hey, if she did it, she did it. Yeah. Sometimes the sacrifices have to be made. But how was it like when you got up and you realized you were third, like that feeling of just finally after all those years?
You know, it wasn't like quite as like euphoric as I thought it was going to be, which is weird because I feel like the extreme negative emotion is so strong,
mm-hmm.
but it was almost just like, I was very content. Like I was like, wow, this is amazing. It wasn't like a super high emotion, but I just felt very at peace with like having put everything out there and finally having accomplished that. And, but then at the same time, like maybe it wasn't like, I wasn't like cheering in yeah, the moment, but yeah. I did stay out on the track for like 45 minutes just wandering around talking to people, like really soaking it in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nice. Wow, this is just so different from the other experiences that I've had at USA's.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to make the most of it and really savor it because I don't know. Sometimes you're just crying in the warm up area after the race.
Yeah.
It's better to be crying on the track
yeah.
during the victory lap.
Yeah.
The Eugene victory lap is actually pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you got to do that before, like, because I know the interviews come over and then you kind of get pushed over to do interviews and stuff and they try and get you off the track for the next event. But if you make it, like, you should be able to soak that in. Like, that victory lap is like especially one of the best series, things you can do.
Like, when you've yeah. been around for as long as, like, we have, you probably know, like, half the people there.
Yeah.
Not literally half, but
yeah.
how many people did you recognize in the stands?
I mean, even if I didn't recognize them, they recognize me. And I'm sure it's, like, the same cast of characters that show up to the U.S. Championships every year. And so they've seen this saga of me, like, oh, I'm falling, and then I'm stuck behind a fall, or, like, I don't quite have enough. So they've all kind of lived it with me
yeah.
in some ways.
So they're like, it's like watching a TV series of like, we've got our, you know, we've finally got a good, you know.
This is season five.
Season five.
yeah.
Yeah, season five finally came together.
But yeah, the last time I did a victory lap at Hayward, it was old Hayward in 2017, the Pac-12 championships when I ran the steeplechase.
Oh my. Wow. That's a throwback.
That's a nice full circle moment.
Yeah, that is.
Well, you guys did victory laps at conference?
Yeah.
We did not do that at Big Tens. No. I did
Big Sky?
I'm going to have to say no. That did not happen.
Yeah. I remember my victory lap when I think I ran one of the last races on the old Hayward and I beat Josh and no one knew who I was. So I was just going around and no one knew who I was. So I was just like, oh, good job.
That would have been a good
My mom was there though. That was a very special moment.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just amazing. That's the one thing is like for us, we went 2021 and obviously since then it's like hard to emotionally, you're just an emotional wreck if you're a support cast there. Like I mean Dathan comes back and he's probably lost like 10 years
it's
of
the
his
most
life.
Energy draining yeah. experience.
It's just crazy, but to be in the stands when that happened, like that's one thing I wish we could somehow teleport there in the stands and give you a hug, because that's like where you want to be, you know. It's
yeah, just after the race you're like, if it goes well,
I would like to be there for the
we'll
race. I mean,
in.
I would like to hug Jared as well after his.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to be there for the races and then be able to get out. Like, I think that's the one thing is like, just being there the whole time.
Kind of like you were saying before, when it's people that I really care about, I sometimes have this weird hope. Like, I still watch them because I can't help myself, but I kind of wish that, like, I forgot the race was happening.
yeah.
And then I just remember, right when it finishes so I can check the results.
Yeah, because I think it's that's just, realistic. Oh, that's too stressful. Like, I think after, and Jared going first as well, and then your race is coming up, I'm like, I'm praying to any God that's listening, please, just like, let me, I just need to get, I was sitting, I couldn't watch, I had to watch it by myself. I was just.
It's not even like you're praying for something good to happen. You're just praying for something bad to not happen.
Yeah, that's, yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
Let's just have this
have
play
a clean
out
race.
How it should.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't imagine what that whole process was. And now, I guess you got to look forward and you're gearing up to represent the US of A. And
has the shipment arrived?
A month?
The shipment has not arrived. I'm ready for the try-on haul, you know?
Gotta get that big bag.
You was like, we always get told to like bring our old stuff.
Yeah, we have our old stuff. And they're like, oh, we'll
Bring the t-shirts you already have. Like,
and you're like, this isn't even the same sponsor.
Yeah. we got the wrong suit on.
Gotta X out the sponsor.
Exactly. But like for
the USA bag, like there's gonna be some
good
stuff.
Yeah, USA do a great job with the gear haul. So it'll be cool to see you get that stuff, and man, it'll be an amazing experience.
Yeah. A few years ago, Cinta gave me an Italy jacket, and so I've just been waiting because I need to repay her with the USA jacket.
Awesome.
So
that's gonna be so good. So looking at Worlds, you've got this pace job coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you doing anything else while you're over there, or after that pace job, is it just get back to training to prepare?
I'm running a 1500 in Germany.
Oh wow!
In Fungstadt.
Nice.
Maybe Ollie is. Gonna
I might
be there
as
too.
Well. I mean. I think I would like to go. I think I am. I think I'm in the race, so I want to do it. Also, like Germany, from what I've heard from one of our teammates, it's like one of the best countries to spend time in now.
Yeah, but it's no Leipzig.
No Leipzig.
It's
though.
No Leipzig.
Yeah,
I feel like Fungstadt is like the. I'm trying to think of a meet.
It's the Leipzig of Fungstadt.
It's the.
That is how I feel about that meet. Where I don't even know where Fungstadt is, but I just know people randomly go there and run really fast. And
is there a track here in the US that's like that? I'm trying to think of it. I'll come back to me. I'll find it.
Yeah, but because after I paced Faith in the 1500, I thought, oh, I'm in kind of good shape right now. I better go run a 1500. And so this is my opportunity. I haven't.
Nice.
My PR in the 1500 is from the Ed Murphy meet.
Isn't it 400?
I think it's
401.
401.
But so it's like 3 years old now.
Yeah.
So
breaking four would be the goal. Hopefully, yeah. If it's
we'll see. It could also not be that. My season best is 410, so we'll see. up the difference.
Momentum's there. Like, this sport's all about momentum sometimes, Sage, and you're crushing it right now. So if the race is fast and feels good.
Will it be an 800 before Worlds?
No, there's not much after. And I'm not really trying to be away from home for very long. So unless I go to that meet, I think there's a meet that's supposed to be in China.
What?
I don't know. I just saw this on the schedule.
There is a meet in China. There is a meet
like
in China.
Like pre-Worlds. Yeah. I guess that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But I'm not sure. I don't think.
I was not expecting you to say that. It's just not what I was expecting.
No. I'm not going, but just rip some fast reps in practice.
I found it.
All right.
Tell you guys heard of the Swarthmore track?
Yeah.
That's the one.
In PA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know that.
That's classic.
Because people ran so fast there, like over 10 years ago. I don't even know if there's still a meet there.
That was when everyone was trying to qualify for the Rio Olympics. I remember they were going up there.
It was the old BU.
Yeah, it really was. Isn't it? It's like on the Canadian border, isn't it? Isn't it like at the top of...
I don't know. I just know that Jordy Williams from Australia ran 3:36 there before he started as a freshman in college. And back then...
That's really good.
Yeah, before he went to Vienna. Back then, that was...
That was pretty crazy. Like, now these days,
was that still his PR?
I think he ran 3:35 or 3:34, maybe later on. But I mean, now these days, you have to run 1:42 to be in high school. So
to get on the team.
To get on the team.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's like, I just made my first team, but I'm also the old lady in the 800.
That doesn't sound right.
The team you're on is very young.
Yeah.
What's the average age here?
Well, Roisin just turned 21 this week.
Oh, boy.
Man, we're...
Both just finished.
The 800, I mean, yeah. I guess...
But the 800 had a mixed,
told you guys
mixed
about,
bag, though.
Have I told you guys about my theory that I stole from someone? I don't know who told me this. That now success in this sport is like a bell curve. In relation to age, it's like a, or maybe it's an upside down bell curve actually. So like you're really good, like you'll have some good years when you're like up to like 22, and then you're maybe in for like 5 years of like struggle, and then
you get good again.
You get really good again.
So everyone thought it was a bell curve, but it's actually it's like an upside down bell curve.
That's what I'm trying to say.
So if you weren't good at 16, you just have to wait it out.
Well, that makes sense. The men's 800 is either you're 16,
exactly,
or you're Donovan and you've come back and you're 29 or however old he is.
Yeah.
And Bryce is 28, 20.
20, I think Bryce is...
They're both like 28.
The funny thing is Donovan's like not even that old, but
he's not.
He just won Worlds 7 years ago.
Yeah, so long ago.
So, yeah. Is that an alarm going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my...
I just checked. It's not mine.
It's not my phone.
Not me.
Oh, it's mine. Sorry. Sorry about that.
So, are we... So what are you saying? Are we in that? Which end of that curve are we on?
I don't see...
It's all up from here, I guess,
yeah.
is the point of that. We're on the up.
Does it start going down?
Well, right now, I don't know. How old is Faith?
Mid-30s?
She's getting better every year still.
She's still on the the up part.
What I notice is with our athletes, where it's like circular. So you go like, you're up, and then you kind of just stay the same, and then you go down. And then you come back up again. And then so you like kind of stay the same, and then you go down. So
you
it's
just
like
hope that it's spiraling upwards.
Yeah, it's just going like this.
It's a crazy graph. I got to see the equation for that.
Yeah, but that's the way I look at it.
I love that. Oh, that's epic. It's, so good.
Well, this is one thing I've always thought, and maybe I feel like there has been chat about it. What was the, I don't know, the thought process or the like to always stay in and keep going for the eight? And was there ever consideration to move up after years of it not quite going your way? Like, all right, next year I'll do the 1500, or I'm gonna stick to the eight forever and ever.
I know last year, like, the women's 15 was also pretty deep, and it was sort of like at least a known cast of characters for me a little bit in the 800. And I like sort of know what it takes. And it's like, okay, I know that I've been there before, where in the 15, like, I'll need to make a jump to be competitive for the team. I don't know. This has been the back and forth like my entire career. We always sit down and we're like, okay, which event's it going to be? And we keep saying like, oh, we're going to, like, each year we say, no, we're going to still run the eight, but we're going to run more 15s. And then here I am and I run 115 this year. And it's like,
you keep getting into Diamond League 800s.
Yeah. And then we're like, we're just going to keep racing the 800. But I don't know. I'm starting to feel like now, because I actually made the 800 team, I might be ready to...
Now that monkey's off your back.
Now I can say goodbye.
I mean, with Funchad, what if that just like is an insane race and you're like, oh shit, like, I could see myself going forward with the 15 after like a really good race. Like, you just, I guess that's the one of the thing is like, you don't really know until you do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'll say it here. I think I'm going to switch to running the 15 after this year.
Okay.
But
it's official.
Unless
you're first, coffee club,
unless
like
I'm just not as good as I thought I'm going to be, in which case I'll just keep running the 800.
Well, the nice thing is with the long season is you could start with the 15, and if it's going to shit, you're like, all right, I'm going back to the 800. I'm 800.
Yeah. And in my experience, like, for me, getting back into the swing of running a 15 is a lot harder than getting back into the swing of running an 800.
Mm.
Like, you got to be a lot fitter for the 15 than you do for the 800.
I think with the 800 too is, though, I don't know if this is maybe a right statement because I'm a 15 guy, but I think when you run a lot of eights, I think you get progressively a lot better. Mm-hmm. I think the more eights you run, the better you are in season. I feel like that's how a lot of 800 guys work, is they run a lot of 800s.
You can run a lot.
Whereas like the 15 now is kind of like the 8, where you can run a lot of 15s and get progressively better. Whereas the 5K, I still feel like you can only run like maybe a couple. So that's a nice thing with it too, is that you can run a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then if you end up, you can just tell people that you were just running them to get strong for the 8. Yeah. Actually, I wasn't planning on doing this.
Yeah, totally
this.
Forget what I was saying here. This isn't a pivot.
Yeah,
running the 800 all along. I don't know, but we'll have to see what happens with this Ultimate Championship next year.
That is
year.
Very
I don't
true.
Really
That's
know
very
how
true.
It works.
Yeah, you might have to be focusing on that like ranking. If it's like, I don't know, was it meant to be top 10, top 15,
top 12?
So that's pretty competitive.
That is.
Yeah, in an event like, especially like the 800 or the
1500. Yeah, because then you're like, do I just double down on the 800?
Yeah,
because I
get those
especially
points.
If the world rank comes from this year.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it'd be sad to waste these world ranking points. All right, I'll do it one more year. And then the next year it's like, all right, one.
So,
one.
Yeah, light switch. We'll see if that actually
happens. Well, yeah, I mean, next year is
a soft pivot. It's a soft pivot.
Experiment. Yeah. And there's no reason. I mean, I guess there's not really too many. I mean, there are definitely some. But there's not too many people, especially on the women's side, that are like doing the double, 8:15. But it's something that's done. It's not abnormal to be amazing at both those two events within one season.
Yeah. I mean, even in the 1500, a lot of those women have run fast eights this year or in years past.
Yeah. Grand Slam, that's been a lot of them because of the been able to do double.
The 1500 women showed up ready to go when I ran that Grand Slam.
Yeah. So.
So there's no reason not to.
No reason not to.
But looking ahead again to the this upcoming Tokyo World Champs, I think like the thing is once you have made especially a squad like the US team, then like then once you've made it, it's like anything can happen at Worlds because like that team is so hard to make. And especially like this year, the on a world scale, like the women's 800 is a bit of a weird event.
Yeah,
you say?
The people who you're used to being way out front, either injured or just not racing as well.
Keely hasn't raced yet, has she?
Between Keely and Mary, those two are definitely, well, Mary's struggling for fitness and Keely has, I don't think she's raced. She was supposed to.
She's pulled out a couple times.
Kind of pulling a Jakob, where she's like on a start list a few weeks in advance and then it doesn't end up happening.
Yeah, so it's like, shit, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's kind of like the U.S. Championships where you're like, literally, if someone has a day or someone's in the wrong spot, anything could happen.
So that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, I'll just kind of try to do as well as I can.
That's a pretty solid plan.
That's a great plan.
I can't really get into more specifics than that. We'll just see what happens.
I like that plan.
Are you going to convince Joe to come to Tokyo?
I don't think there's a chance. It's a big trip for him.
I mean, he'll have to like decompress on the plane mid-flight.
Yeah, well, he's going to race a couple weeks after that, so that's just too quick of a turnaround.
Yeah, he's going to be running like 150 miles a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to be running more because when I ran the Hawaii mile a couple years ago and he was only running like 100 miles a week and still that's like...
Yeah, running Hawaii's tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. Well, the thing with Joe, like you and Joe also have a lot of children in the sense of animals.
Yeah.
You have two cats, two dogs, and I know
full-time job.
Yeah, I know Joe, you being in Tokyo, Joe's going to take on that responsibility.
He's very devoted to making sure that everyone is happy and healthy.
And also getting a lot of Instagram time. I get more updates about his... your pets than my own pet when I'm like, hey, can I get a photo of Gus? I'll go on Instagram, it's like 17 photos of Jane and just like, I was like, oh, I just know what Jane's doing today. I just, so he's
same
got
same thing as she did yesterday.
Exactly. But he's got his hands full with that because you'll be over crushing in Tokyo. So
I can't imagine the running will be very good in Tokyo.
No, we're staying right in the city. Yeah. I wouldn't want to put him through that. He's like a little bit of a delicate traveler as is.
That's a great way to say it.
That's how I've been described as well. I get it.
Yeah. It's
very
certain people are. I also think
it's a nice way to say it, though.
I also think that as you go up in distance and like small things out of your routine can have a bigger effect versus like the 800. You're a little tired. You're just gonna continue running hard. It doesn't really matter if like I don't know. I'm not getting the right kind of sleep or whatever. But oh gosh, if you're running 120 miles a week.
It's just a lot of hours of training.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you
can't just shake out the flight with 4 miles. You got to get your 15 mile run in.
Yeah.
So understandable. You'll be cheering from Longmont.
From Longmont.
Longtucky. Hey, how was the Derby yesterday?
Joe and Sage were supposed to be there, but Joe was too delicate. He was too tired. So Joe and Sage didn't come, which was a big letdown.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is we've been talking about going to the rodeo since last year.
Doesn't he have the cowboy hat? He has the hat and everything.
He's got the outfit.
Dude, we need Joe.
I should have swung by the house for the hat at least. Yeah. I didn't have a hat.
You
so I
just showed up and been like, you're coming with me. Yeah. You know?
Just drag him out.
Yeah. I wore my beef hat though.
Nice. Like, so you fit in.
Yeah.
You fit in, but like you didn't wear on gear, but it doesn't fit in.
I wore No. You wore flannel? Was freaking, I wore a jean shirt, but it was too hot. I wore shorts. It was very warm evening.
Is it?
So I don't know if I really fit in.
Okay.
But I didn't stick out like sore thumb. I was somewhere in the middle.
Is it like a competition of like finesse or just like time?
Who?
Like to stay on the ball.
Whoa.
That's a great question.
There's so many different.
There's different categories.
There's so many different categories.
Okay.
You get scored like if you're on a bucking bronco, basically on a horse instead of a bull, which I think is the same. You have to stay on for like so many seconds and then a buzzer goes and you just like a guy helps you off basically.
Wait, they do it on horses as well?
Yeah, they do it on a
bunch. That almost sounds more scary than doing it on a bull.
Cause you're higher up.
They bounce a lot like crazy, but I think you get scored on like how you handle it. Like how good you looked, I think. Cause they were just yelling out numbers.
I think you have to have wear a really nice outfit. Cause if you wear a really nice outfit, you look good.
Oh,
that like that kind of disrupts from your face being like terrified.
I love how they all start with a cowboy hat. Like knowing that it's gonna within a 0.5 of a second, that thing is flying off.
Do you reckon you could do it,
and getting trampled. No, I'm too delicate. No, dude, I can't even, like the way they're walking, like getting off this thing.
Do they hit the ground? Like do some of them, like,
bro, I can't imagine the chiropractor you'd need to see after getting on one of those things.
It'd be like watching like an NFL game, to somebody just getting hit by somebody else.
You're just getting absolutely ragdolled. Like, it's unreal.
Dude, I kind of want to watch it now. I want to go.
Oh, it was so good. Well, I would go
put
again.
Put it in your calendar for next year. You and Joe can both put it in the calendar.
Boulder County Fair 2026.
It was really good. Well, that was only the county fair. There is the state fair, which is this. No. It's a couple. I think you'll be back by then. I think it's the end of August.
There was also a massive rodeo in Colorado a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But
the state fair is in Pueblo.
Montana?
Really? A rodeo?
Yeah, wait. What's the state one north?
Wyoming.
I think he went to one in Wyoming. I think they have a big one.
Yeah, Wyoming would have mad ones.
Yeah. Cool.
What else is there to do in Wyoming?
Totally. I don't know. But I can practice on Gus maybe and just try and...
Well, that was pretty much these little kids come out and do... mutton busting. And there was like mutton busting was on the schedule. And I was like, I gotta look this up. I don't know what the hell I'm getting into here. Yeah. And... it's little kids riding sheep. And
that is amazing.
They got the biggest.
They got to bring this to New
they
Zealand.
They got the biggest cheers of the whole night.
Did they have like
hilarious.
A helmet on and stuff?
they were wearing helmets.
Smart.
And
kids just go flying in the air. Dude, that'd be amazing.
No, some of the sheep would just like kind of just run around, but not very like aggressively. And like the kid would stay on for a bit. They just had to stay on for like, it was like 6 seconds. But some of them would just take off. And one of the sheep like took off at a dead sprint and just booked it straight into the fence, like head first, and sent the kid like flying into the fence. That kid won.
He won.
That was that's like, the end of that story. Is that,
that.
Yeah, that
dude,
kid,
I would
that
be
kid
cheering.
Won.
It was that'd be amazing.
They were getting the biggest cheers of the whole night. It was
so good,
hilarious.
Just so Colorado like, things.
Is
huh?
she this big?
You know what my favorite thing is? Sorry, this is really off topic. From like the Easter show back home, I don't know if they have this in America. Have you guys seen the woodcutting competitions at these types of events?
Oh, dude. I haven't, but I know what you're talking about.
They must have it here.
Stage?
I mean, I don't really know.
It's spectacular.
It's pretty amazing.
With an axe or a sword?
Yeah, with an axe, and they have to go like chop the different sides, and it's like it's
is
like
it
a
about
race.
Technique or
well,
speed,
it's a race.
I think.
It's technique and speed, but like it's really impressive, and it's pretty fun to
watch.
There'll
be like, I think, I don't know if this is how they all do it, but it'll be like two people cutting like the same size stump, like head to head. And it's like, who can cut it first? Man.
The anticipation of it is great, but it is very manly. Yeah.
Very manly. Yeah. Good times.
I didn't see that on the schedule, but there was tractor pulling you could have gone to. And there was a demolition derby.
Wait, people pull tractors?
No. Well,
tractors pull things.
Tractors, one, tractors.
Oh, they're
against
each other.
Yeah, with a rope
like
in the middle.
Tug of war.
Basically, tug of war for tractors.
So it's like, who's got the biggest tractor?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, there's a country song about that.
I'm sure there is.
Amazing. So yeah, just a little.
That was my week. That was the weekend, yeah.
Colorado things. Wish I could do some more Colorado things. But back to running. I think we can kind of start to wrap it up here a bit. But looking back on kind of these. I mean, for what I'm hearing from you, Sage, is like you mentioned riding off into the sunset before, associated with, you know, making like a US team and stuff. But And then you just mentioned how it's just a feeling of, it seems like relief was the strongest emotion, but I have a feeling that almost like once you've done it once, you're like, no, I gotta do that again
I'm not just gonna rest on this one.
I do this again every single time.
All right, guys, I made it.
You know,
then
it's gonna be this whole complex of like, I can't just be this person that's made one team, you know. but it's better than being someone who's made no teams.
Yeah,
yeah,
true. Mm. But so going, I guess like the current timeline that we all operate in is like through 2028 LA Olympics. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows like that's the big thing. It's gonna be very exciting to see how that shapes out for you. And obviously you put yourself in a great spot right now, making the team in the 800, see how the 1500 meter goes. But I have a feeling that after making this first team, you'll have much more a feeling of, I don't know if it's like a feeling of belonging, but you know, do you feel a certain confidence that's, I think it's impossible to attain until you've like done it, you know? And then,
yeah. And I do feel like I have so much experience as a professional runner before I got to this point that I'm like, okay, once I do get to the point where I make a team, I feel like I'm going to be very well equipped for it.
Mm. Yeah, because it's different when someone does make it at 20 years old or 19. And like, I mean, those people go on to win gold medals.
Yeah.
So it's amazing for them, but it is a very different experience.
But like in my personal journey.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That wasn't going to be me at 20.
No. Unfortunately, not everyone can win their gold medals at 20, like a thing. Was a thing a freshman?
I think she
like
was
in college.
Yeah, in college when she won her gold.
Sounds right. Probably not even 20 then.
Yeah,
I think she was in her teens maybe.
But that is the nature of the 800. It is a weird event like that. But with all this wonderful experience that you have, what is it now that you kind of like would want to tell yourself? Like if you could go back in time, or kind of like a kind of just like what would be the advice that you would give to those people that are like, you know, still at like the earliest stage in that journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have things that you love in the sport that are outside of just the big accomplishments, because
just the external winning.
Yeah, because it can feel like, okay, I put in all this really hard work like year after year and I have nothing to show for it. And that can be really demoralizing and defeating. But then you're like, why did I get into the sport anyways? I just kind of love racing. I love like competing at a high level. To me, I've been thinking about like, okay, why do I do this? It's like very life affirming to just go out there and like find the best competition and see how you stack up against them. And so I've really been leaning into that over the last year, especially of just, you know, can I be happy with myself and my performance and what I'm doing day to day, independent of whatever major accolade I'm searching for.
Totally. I think that's great advice. That definitely important for anyone out there.
I think I'm taking the
I'm going to write some notes
that.
On that. Yeah.
That was amazing. Because you do lose sight of it. And I think that was one thing with our team is it's very much like the big goal is Paris, the big goal is Budapest, the big goal is Eugene.
Yeah.
It's
especially like outside maybe your immediate circle. That's like what people really see.
Yeah. And they don't see the other side. I mean, like I'm thinking about what you've said. I'm thinking about all these races that you've done. Alicia's done like in Diamond Leagues where people like you've almost won races or almost been top three. Like that's insane. Like those races are so hard to get into and then to place up that high and have a good race and compete with some of the best in the world. It's just amazing. Like, and those things you do lose sight of that. And it's a very short term memory of the sport. So it's nice to remember those things.
Totally. Well, I think that's a lovely note for us to wrap this episode up with. Sage, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah. Thank you for texting me.
Anytime. I can't believe this is the first time we had you in the studio. We'll have to have you back on much sooner than this break was. But best of luck for the rest of the season. Obviously, we'll be cheering for you, as all the fans out there will be as well. Guys, thank you so much for listening to episode 199 of the Coffee Cup podcast. Will the next episode be episode 200? Probably not. If you made it this far, I can tell you. Probably not.
We give you guys
one guess. Strap in.
Whether or not.
Yeah. You know how it went the first time. Trust me.
Go back to episode 99 and see how many, how long you think it'll be until episode 200.
We'll see what happens. But thank you guys so much for listening. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Bye-bye.